had some time to really think about this, and I knew what I wanted to preach, but as a preacher, I always get stuck on the title of the message. I don't know why, but I do. I always have the context and everything, but the title sometimes fails me. But this week, or last week, we had a lesson on epic fail. And I thought it was absolutely gem of a lesson. Who was there on Wednesday night at their own groups? It was a great lesson, wasn't it? You know, containment tapes and those things, caution tapes to protect us. And tonight I titled this message, Epic Fail, Judas Iscariot. And yeah, I've sort of nicked the theme of the Home Friendship Group series title, but I thought it was quite appropriate. And tonight I want to talk about a very infamous character in the Bible. He's not so much a character, he's actually real. And I'm reminded of how important it is to have a relationship with Jesus. You know, we can never put enough emphasis on going deeper with Jesus. We can never put enough emphasis upon being filled with the Spirit of the Lord and having our cup running over with God's presence. And an epic fail, you know, I was reminded of something that happened when I was a boy. And we were playing tips. Believe it or not, kids, it's not a new game. When I was about 8 or 9, we played tips. And I can remember doing the bolt, and it was running down the hill. And the idea is that if you got tipped on the way down, you go to the middle of the paddock, and the numbers got bigger in the middle. And so there was more people to try and catch you as you try to get to the other end. Well, at the other end of this paddock, there was like a small log railing, okay? And on the other side of this log railing, it's like a boulder, bit of a rock sticking up out of the ground, nice and smooth. And I can remember going for the bolt, and I got faster and faster because it's downhill, okay? A little bit wet, a little bit slippery. Well, I got to say that my ending wasn't so pleasant because I couldn't stop quick enough. And I got to this log railing and I thought, either I'm going to smash my kneecaps or I jump over it. Well, I went for plan B. I tried to jump over it. Well, being 8 or 9, I wasn't quite as tall as I am now. And I didn't make it. And the tips of my toes clipped the log as I went over the top. And so instead of just running over like a hurdle jumper, I soared over. And it didn't end there either. I mean, I had to come down eventually. And I went down straight on top of the boulder, full on belly flop, right on top of the rock. And it knocked the wind out of me. A little kid who thought he was running at 100 miles an hour flies over the top of a log and lands straight smack bang on top of a rock. And I can still remember to this day, hunched up in a little ball. You know, I wanted to cry. I was in so much pain, but I couldn't breathe and I couldn't cry at the same time. I'm trying to gulp for air, you know, and everyone's looking over me and all I can see is stars and trying to breathe, you know, and that was an epic fail. I should have just got tipped. Would have saved me half the trouble. Honestly, it would have. And, you know, there's many stories of epic fails. Who's had an epic fail? We all have. I've got plenty of other stories. I've climbed trees. Lots of them. Fallen out of lots of them too. Epic fail. Another guy I read about was he decided he wanted to do some chin-ups, flex a bit of muscle. So 7 floors up, he hangs outside of his balcony on the railing. And he does chin-ups. He got to about 7. He couldn't get back up. The result, unfortunately, was finality. Because he fell 7 floors. epic fail, and it cost him his life. But tonight, there was another epic fail that happened in the man Judas Iscariot. And yes, it cost him everything. And this is what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about his life, what it had to do. What can we learn from Judas Iscariot? And so we must always bear in mind that our relationship is foremost with Jesus Christ. He wants to know us, but we need to know him too, personally, so that we don't end up as an epic fail. And so let's turn into the gospel according to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And we'll begin at verse 47. And while he yet spoke, behold, a multitude. And he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest the Son of Man with a kiss? Judas, betrayest the Son of Man with a kiss? Lord Jesus, we just ask that you'll be with us for the remainder of this service, that you would speak to us, that you would help us to see what it is that you would have in store for us. Let us draw close to you. Let us be open to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The calling of Judas Iscariot was nothing special. But yet, after this calling, Jesus made this statement. It's quite profound. Pretty soon, straight after Judas was called, Jesus answered them, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it's he was that should betray him, being one of the 12. And that's in John chapter 6. You know, Judas was perhaps in some ways closest to Jesus out of all the disciples. And you may find that quite a profound statement, but I think you'll come to agree with me once I finish here tonight. Iscariot, the surname, it's derived from the Hebrew word Is-Orioth, or meaning to be a man of Kiriath, which at that time was a region in Judah. So if anyone could call themselves a zealot of the zealots, it would be Judas. It would be. Not only because he was Jewish, but his name meant Judah, which was representative of the southern tribe of Judah, of which Jesus himself was a descendant, meaning Judas was Jesus' own kin, distant relative of the tribe of Judah. However, in stark contrast, Judas was nothing about giving God praise, which is what his name means. In fact, it was quite the opposite. It's quite profound that this man, Judas, would even be chosen. But yet he was, because God had a plan too that had to be fulfilled. You know, Judas's roots go deeper. The Bible says that he was indeed a close friend. Yeah, it does. A close friend. If you'll turn with me to Psalm 41, verse 9. Psalm 41, verse 9. Yea, my unfamiliar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, had lifted up his heel against me. If you'll turn to Psalm 55 now, Psalm 55, verse 12, we'll begin there. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and my acquaintance. And this is what Jesus had to say in John, in chapter 13 and verse 18. I speak not of you all. I know who I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had said thus, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And so the very one that had become an acquaintance, a close friend of Jesus, the scripture tells us that he lifted up his heel against him. He betrayed him. And this is the man, Judas. Judas was chosen to be one of the 12. And please bear with me tonight. This is a hard message. It is a hard message. But if you hear it, you realize it's all about the love of God. Judas, he completely misses the point of Jesus' ministry. 3.5 years with Jesus, and he never got it. And it is important for us. You know, I think about 27, 28 years I've been serving the Lord now. Imagine if in all that time I still hadn't gotten it. What is the point of serving God? What is the point of living for him? It's my relationship that's important with Jesus. It's my obedience to the word of God that matters. It's my following through with what Jesus has commanded me to do that's important. And Judas, he missed out. He failed because he couldn't get the point of having relationship with Jesus. And the scripture does say it likens Judas as Jesus' equal. We just read it in the Psalms. His guide and his acquaintance. Judas must have been well educated. He would have known the customs of the Jews. He would have known that. Someone who was close to Jesus. Someone who was well educated. You know, it says, according to Augustine tradition, it says this: Jesus had delivered Judas from death, and for his sake healed his father of palsy and cured his mother of leprosy. And next to Peter, he honoured him above all other apostles. He had it all. He had it all. He had the opportunity to have something far more with Jesus than what he could have possibly ever imagined. He had it all. He had a good name. He had a good heritage, a good kinship, a great friend in Jesus who even washed his feet. He even ate bread with Jesus. He saw the miracles. He saw the wonders. He saw the power of God right before his eyes. What happened, Judas? What happened? And something that I found so profound was that Judas was also the group's treasurer. It says that he didn't care for the poor. He didn't, you know, because he was a thief. And he had the bag. And he always watched what was put in that bag. And we can know that story when the woman came before Jesus and she broke the alabaster box of precious ointment. The Judas in his self-righteousness, indignation, said, what a waste. But yet he would have seen the purpose of why that box was broken. But yet he still had a hard heart. He still had a heart that said, God, I'm not going to listen. That oil should have been sold for 300 pennyworth and given to the poor. He didn't care about the poor. He cared about himself. And you know, I begin to realize that Jesus made him treasurer so that he would become the focal point of his ministry. Whether Judas understood this at the time was yet to be seen. But you know, he would have known when Jesus gave those parables or when he gave those scriptures and he spoke the word of God, like he said, don't lay up treasures for yourself here on earth, but lay up treasures which are eternal, where thieves can't break through. Judas was a thief. Where moths and rust cannot corrupt. He would have heard Jesus making those statements. But yet, it didn't change who he was. It was because of the curse of the love of money which caused Judas to commit the ultimate betrayal. How do you know that? Well, how much did he sell Jesus for? Who can answer the question? What did Jesus get sold for to be betrayed? Sorry? 30 pieces of silver. And he sold the King of Glory. We can't afford to sell out on Jesus tonight, people. We've come too far to fall behind. We can't sell out on Jesus with the way we live. We can be in the world, but not of the world. We need to love God more than the love of money, more than the love of this world. We can't sell out on Jesus. If he could have seen where it would have led him, if he could have seen what would have happened, I believe he would have turned around. But as Brother Drew said last Sunday night, sin will take you further than you had ever intended. You play around with it, it will take you beyond where you thought you would go. Judas, he wasn't some random. He was chosen by Jesus to be one of the 12, the inner circle of men around Jesus. And you know that he, along with the rest of disciples, did mighty works. Do you know that? Luke 9:1 said that he called his 12 disciples together. You know what it says? And he gave them power and authority over all the devils, and to cure all diseases. He had the power given to him from Jesus. And yet, it still wasn't enough. And you know what he was missing? He was missing his relationship with Jesus. He was living the all about me syndrome. Let's take this a bit further. When Jesus said, Judas, you betray me with a kiss. Betrayed with a kiss. I began to think about this. Do you know that back then and even today in some cultures, it's perfectly acceptable to greet somebody with a kiss. It's a sign of affection or brotherly love or whatever in some cultures. Even Christian circles, it's okay. Don't do it here. Ladies, men. I'm just making that clear, okay? But in the cultures, you would greet someone with a kiss. Brother, kiss on the cheek. Nothing wrong with that. But in biblical terms, it wasn't just only a sign of intimacy and friendship. It wasn't only that. It was also a sign of worship. Do you know that one of the key words in the Bible for worship was proskuneo, which means to kiss towards? And in Psalm chapter 2, verse 10 to 12, you don't have to turn there, it says this: "Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way which his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." The kings are instructed to serve God with fear and rejoice with trembling, an act of worship. And also in the same breath, kiss the Son. So here we see a kiss by a Judahite, which should have been a kiss of worship, because he wasn't just coming to Jesus, the man. He was coming to Jesus as God, as deity. And he should have known that Jesus wasn't just anybody, wasn't just some random, but that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the Savior of the world. That when he was coming to Jesus, he should have been giving Jesus a kiss of worship, a kiss of adoration, a kiss of Jesus, I love you. But instead, he gave Jesus a kiss of betrayal, an act of high treason. And you know what? When you commit high treason, it's a breach of faith, a breach of love, a betrayal of trust. And as one person wrote, and I quote, "This is the Bible's picture of humanity. It was Judas, the elect of the elect, who betrays Jesus and betrays him to the best of the best, the Jewish establishment. And they, with the help of the mightiest of the mighty, the Romans, crucify the Lord of glory." But it was Judas that betrayed Jesus with a kiss. He lived and breathed the very presence of God. Who here, if you could have an opportunity, spend 3.5 years with Jesus in the flesh? Who here would? Mate, I'll be leaping out of that chair, me first. It's the only time you'll hear me go with the me first syndrome, okay? Me first, I'm going to be with Jesus for 3.5 years in flesh. If you want to come along, that's fine. That's the zeal that we should have for Jesus. But Judas was missing this point. You know, his relationship was built on me first. His relationship was built on it. What's in it for me? What do I get out of it? But you know what Jesus' ministry was all about? It's an old Sunday school song. J-O-Y. J-O-Y. This must surely be Jesus, yourself, and others in J-O-Y. That's what Jesus' ministry was all about. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. Jesus came because he wanted to seek and save the lost. But once we are saved, we're about the Father's business, about seeking the others out there that need Jesus as well. And then we're last. Judas, the lessons that can be learned from his life. Wouldn't you agree? There's valuable lessons to be learned here from the life of Judas. Why did you do it, Judas? Why? Why? You know, I don't want it said about me one day, Aaron, you had it all. You had the ministry. You had the power of God. You had the blessings of God. You had a great family. You had a great life. But it wasn't enough, was it? Why did you do it, Aaron? Why? Don't let it be an epitaph on my gravestone. Epic failure, Aaron Bryan, written underneath. You know what I want to see? I don't want to see a gravestone. I want to see Jesus. I want to be with him. I want to live with him eternally, forever and ever. Heaven is only part of the package, but I want to see Jesus because he's the one that died for me. We need to be reminding ourselves, what's our intentions? Why are we kissing Jesus and what are we doing it for? Is it all about me or is it all about him? Jesus, I kiss you because I want to worship you. I want to love you. I want to be committed to serving you and seeking your face. I can no longer sit on the fence of indecision. And you know this fence? And I've spoken about it, and many other preachers have too. It's called the fence of compromise. And yeah, tough word, isn't it? Compromise. We can't afford to do it, saints. You know, we're living in the last days. That clock is ticking. We're in the final stages of history. And I'm telling you, it's not the end of history. It's history in the making. So I'm telling you, when Jesus comes back again, the Word of God says that, behold, every eye shall see him. And you know something? I'm going to be with him. But if I sit on the fence of complacency, if I sit on the fence of compromise, if I sit in a place where I think it's just not going to matter too much if I sit here, then I'm in danger of missing out on eternity with Jesus Christ. I just want to be more than somebody serving God. Don't we all have visions of what we want to be for Jesus? You know, I spent my life when I became a Christian for the Lord trying to find out what the will of God is for my life. And I've stumbled. Just done some things I've done, I'm not proud. But you know something? God's grace is forever true. And I can wake up each day knowing that I can be forgiven. Judas, I honestly believe, could have had that opportunity. I do believe that. I believe Judas could have been forgiven. Judas came because there was a purpose for him. He had to do it. And yeah, it's unfair. But if he stuck around long enough, he would have known the love of Jesus extended beyond from what he could see. And after serving the Lord these years, I've realized that nothing is impossible with him. And I don't care if you think you've gone too far, that you don't even think God could even forgive you. If that's the case, then the blood of Jesus was for no reason at all. Because Jesus' blood will never lose its power. It will never lose its ability to forgive and to cleanse the sinner. We have a hope here tonight, saints of God, that if we put our trust and our faith in Jesus, he will guide us, he will lead us, he will protect us, he will keep us safe, he will be our tower, he will be our refuge, he will be our shield, he will be our buckler, he will fight for us. This is the promises that we have in Jesus' word. Yes, Judas's ending was one of great disappointment. You know, he had come to the realization after selling Jesus, after betraying him with a kiss, that he'd done the wrong thing. It was so grievous to him that he went and committed suicide. And hence the title, Epic Fail. The kiss of betrayal came at a very high price. And as we said earlier, sin will take you further than you'd ever intended. As I heard one Baptist preacher say, this is many years ago, I was curious about these Baptist preachers, so I dropped into a tent meeting in Queanbeyan just to hear what they had to say, yeah, curiosity. And I had to say, I heard one of the most frightening messages of my life, and it still stuck with me to this day. It's probably about 20 years ago now. And he preached on this title, on Judas Iscariot. He kissed the door to heaven, yet went to hell. He kissed the door to heaven, yet went to hell. And you can imagine sitting in that service feeling a little bit uncomfortable. Actually, I was actually more than uncomfortable, convicted. Because his epic failure here, as Joel would come, was that walking with Jesus was never going to be enough. You know, he never allowed Jesus to impact his life. And you know, he never allowed Jesus into the place where it mattered most. Here. The place where decisions are made to alter one's life for good. We can't be complacent, saints of God, as I've said before. And yes, as I prepared this message, I was squirming, thinking, wow, this is a hard message, God. But sometimes we need to hear things like this to wake us up. We need to hear things where we feel uncomfortable. I don't want to hear parts of messages that just tickle my ears. I love it when you get down to deep stuff and you start digging up those roots of weeds and stuff. I don't want to be in a church where all I hear is fluff and happiness. And yes, churches should be full of happiness and joy. But I want to be in a church like this one where the truth actually means something. Where living for Jesus means something. Where the Word of God has an impact in my life. I don't want to live on the peripheral, just outside the presence of God. I want to be on the inner circle with Jesus. If it were possible to be one of the 12. I don't want to live knowing about Jesus. I want to know him. And this morning, we couldn't have got it better, and it hit me fair and square between the eyes, Pastor. How important it is to have a love for the truth. In a world full of lies, saints, we've got to stand on the truth. Stand on the Word of God. We've got to know what it says. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. What a change in my life. Judas's epic fail became an example for us of what not to do, of what not to live, of what not to say. But the epic success of this was that Jesus went to Calvary. He had a purpose. And Jesus went to Calvary for you. He went to Calvary for you, Brother John. He went to Calvary for you, Brother Jason. And he didn't stay there. You know, on the third day, what happened? What happened on the third day? He rose again. He rose again. The excitement of it all. The dark times have been put behind us. The forgiveness of Jesus' blood had become available. The mercy of God could be poured out upon all of us who were lost, who were sinners, who were dying in this world. It became an epic success. The story turned around completely. That Jesus came into this world to die for us, to give us hope, to give us a reason for living, to bring us to Him. This is what we have when we serve Jesus tonight. Tonight, I ask you the question, are you ready to let go and let God? How are you going to greet Jesus tonight? Are you going to greet Him with a kiss of worship? Are you going to greet Him with a kiss of adoration? Or are you going to greet Him with a kiss of betrayal? And tonight, it's in your hands how you're going to love Jesus. How you're going to commit yourself to Jesus. How you're going to develop your relationship with Him. It's in your hand. Let us all stand tonight.